أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة فخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أبريز الله سبحانه وتعالى، and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Today, which is Tuesday, the 7th of the Qa'dah, for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 23rd of February for the year 1999. And today, inshallah, we are going to continue our class concerning Al-Hajj from the book Bulugh al-Maram lil-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, from the book The Attainment of the Objective. This is the fourth class from the book of Bulugh al-Maram concerning the chapter of Hajj. And in actuality, this is supposed to be the 40th class from the book Bulugh al-Maram. And by finishing this class today, inshallah, this will be exactly half of the book of Bulugh al-Maram. This is 40 classes that we went through explaining this book, and when we finish this class today, actually we had accomplished and finished by Allah's will half of this class. And we're going to continue from this book inshallah after we come back from Hajj, if Allah Almighty will so. And today inshallah I'm going to be talking to you concerning the last two chapters of Hajj, and we're going to pick up from hadith number 630, and this will be the book of Hajj, page number 267, for those who has the book with them, the book Bulugh al-Maram. وعنه أي عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اللهم ارحم المحلقين. قالوا: والمقصرين يا رسول الله؟ قال: في الثالثة والمقصرين. عليكم السلام. This hadith which reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him as well as his father. As a hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his mercy upon both of them. The hadith is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made supplication that may Allah send mercy on those who shave their head after their Umrah and their Hajj. The companion said, O Prophet of Allah, and for those who have a haircut. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah have mercy upon those who shave their head. He said, O Prophet of Allah, and also those who have a haircut. For three times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua with mercy to be ascended on those who shaved their head. And this applied to men, not to women. And the proper way that after the man finish his Umrah, as well as make his Hajj, that he will shave his head, that means remove all the hair on his head with the razor blade. What the companion, may Allah be pleased with them, they ask concerning those people who have a haircut, that means they will shorten their hair, not shave it totally, to be included in Allah's mercy and the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated three times, and in the third time he said, "An al-muqassirin," that means may the mercy of Allah also be upon those who have haircut. Number one, a woman is supposed to shorten her hair, not to shave. Number two, that shorten her hair can be enough with 1 inch as example. 1 inch or the tip of your finger, okay, will be sufficient. And that she can shorten her hair after Umrah as well as Hajj to get out of the state of Ihram. And out of the state of Ihram, not after Umrah, not after Hajj, if she wants to cut her hair short, it is permissible as long as she is not imitating men, neither she imitates the kuffar women. So this will be permissible for her to cut her hair. Now, for the man, the most reward will be for those who shave, not those who cut their hair short. Secondly, about cutting the hair short, not to be qaza'a. And the qaza'a Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbid it. And the qaza'a is that the person, he will cut from part of his hair and leave the rest. Like we see some of the styles of the kuffar today, that they will shave round their head and leave the middle. Or that they will take one part and leave the other part. Whatever kind of design they do in their hair. Because Islam is about fairness, and fairness even to be done with your own self. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid the man to walk with one shoe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid for you that you shave part of your hair and leave the other, because this is not equality, this is not fair with your body. The same way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid the man to take a side of a wife and neglect the other wife if he have two wives. So Islam is a religion of balance in everything, even when you cut your hair. You have to be just in with your power. So you wear both sandals or take both of them off. That you shave all your hair or leave all your hair. You see? So the best thing that the person do after Umrah and after Ihrah, after Hajj, he will shave. If he cut his hair short, that means he will take from all places. This will be permissible and will be enough. Cutting the hair or shaving the hair for man and a woman, this is the form and the way to take you from the state of ihram. That means the other things will be lawful for you. Okay, intercourse, wearing the regular clothes, all these things. Okay, for women, they have to keep in mind that not their hair to be exposed to other men that are not mahram, is not your son, is not your brother, is not your husband. So you don't give the scissors as example to somebody and ask him to clip your hair for you. It will be a sister like you, okay? Or that you can even clip it for yourself. You can clip it for yourself. Okay. Hadith number 630. Thank you. Hadith number 631. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقف في حجة الوداع فجعلوا يسألونه فقال رجل لم أشعر فحلقت قبل أن أذبح قال اذبح ولا حرج وجاء آخر فقال لم أشعر فنحرت قبل أن أرمي قال ارمي ولا حرج فما سئل يومئذ عن شيء قدم ولا أخر إلا قال افعل ولا حرج. This hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him as well as his father. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he performed his Hajj, Hajjat al-Wada', he stood up there, that means he made himself available. And the Hajjis, the Sahaba, those who perform Hajj, they came asking him different questions concerning what they did. One of them said, I didn't pay attention and I shaved my hair before I slaughtered my animal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, slaughter animal and no harm, that what you did is acceptable. Another person came, O Prophet of Allah, I didn't pay attention, I slaughtered my animal before I throw the stones. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no problem, is acceptable. That nothing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in question about it concerning what is supposed to be done in that day, except he said, no problem, is okay, is acceptable. Okay. In actuality, there is a special order what you're supposed to be doing. Does anybody know what day is this when you do these things and you will get a quarter or a 50 cent, maybe? Okay. Really supposed to raise your hand first so I can see which one will get the quarter. So all of you lost the quarter now, okay? So all those people who answer without raising their hand, they owe me a quarter now. So this was the day of what? The 10th, which we here in America, every other place that we are not making Hajj. What we call this day? Exactly, this is the day of Eid, the day of feast. Now the Muslims who are making Hajj, this will be the 10th days for them. They just coming from where? Anybody know?
Arafah.
What was the station before Arafah? What was before Muzdalifah? Huh? They are in Mina. They left Muzdalifa in the morning, and they went to where? All right, you need to go to study. When you go home, think about this one. Huh? You got it? Huh? And the Mashar al-Haram. Yeah. So now we are in Mina. Anybody have idea about approximately what time? Approximately? About?
Late morning.
Okay, let's say like 10 o'clock as example. So the order that is supposed to go and the stone, okay, the Jamara. Number one, you go and throw 7 pebbles in the first Jamra, okay? And after this, you will go and slaughter your animal, okay? And after this, you will go and shave your hair. And after this, you will go later on in that day or the next 2-3 days to Mecca to make tawaf, okay? This is the order. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when those people ask him about what they did, that means somebody did this before this and this before that, he said to them, what? That is no problem, is acceptable. Now we don't put ourselves now as in the scholarly position and anything else. We go to tell the people, okay, it's no problem, somebody went to Mina before Arafah and went to Arafah in the 8th day and he didn't go there. Only the day of Mina in the morning, the order of this thing, this is the only thing we're talking about it. If you make a mistake that you shave first or you kill the animal first or that you throw the whatever that you made out of these 3 things or 4 things is still acceptable, okay? We only talking about the day of Mina, the 10th, okay? Pay attention now. Okay, the proper order is to go and stone the Jamra, okay? And after this, you will go and slaughter your animal. And after this, you will shave your hair, okay? Now, you can change your clothes. And we'll go, inshallah, next week in this more in details. If not, you want to go to Mecca, you can go to Mecca to make tawaf and come back to stay 3 days, 3 nights in Mina. If it's not accessible to you to go to Mecca is that day, you can remain, change your clothes and stay, relax. Be in the tents, see the Muslims, make zikrullah, okay, and enjoy, you understand, eating the meat of your animals and things like this. Alright? And later on, when these days of Mina finish, now you go to Mecca and you make tawaf, you make sa'i. Okay? But the 4 things need to be done, or 3 things need to be done to in that day. The first day is what? Throwing pebbles, killing the animals, and shaving the hair. So if you shave your hair first, it's still acceptable. Okay? If you slaughter your animal first, it's still acceptable. But you should try to know the order and try to remember. And sometimes you may forget, or you may understand things is not accessible to you. You may did not find your animal, you understand, to kill it in the first day. You may, it's so crowded you cannot reach the place. All these things is possible, okay? So it's no problem. You can throw the pebbles at least, okay? And shave your hair, and after this you change your clothes and relax, okay? And the hadith is authentic. We go to hadith, inshallah, number 632, and this hadith in page number 268. وعن المسور ابن مخزمة رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحر قبل أن يحلق وأمر أصحابه بذلك. Okay, this hadith is showing us a portion of the proper order that's supposed to be done in the 10th days in Mina. that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had killed his sacrifice before shaving his head, and he had command his companions to do so. Next hadith, number 633, was got skipped. The hadith is weak. Go to hadith number 634. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس على النساء حلق وإنما على النساء التقصير. رواه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. And the hadith is authentic. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us that shaving head is not a compliment on women, but what is for women is what? Is to shorten. Is to shorten. A woman is not supposed to shave her hair. Alright? And this imitation for the men. And if a woman imitate a man in any fashion, or a man imitate a woman in any fashion, they will be cursed by Allah. They will be cursed by Allah. Walking, talking, form of dress, hairstyle, anything. Okay? So you can see how many women in Fort Jackson been cursed. Huh? And Fort Bragg, and Fort Walden, and all these forts. Okay? They wearing suits, they marching, they doing all, everything like a man, and yes sir, and saluting, and all kind of stuff, okay? Yeah. Not only people on Fort Jackson, you can see also in the streets, okay? So anything a man do it, imitating a woman, doesn't matter now, like some men, they shave their beard, say, but I don't mean to, it's not my intention to imitate the woman. It still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, it's not certain things, your intention is not required there. You do it, you are doing it. Okay? You are part of it. And shaving the beard is a big problem with a lot of Muslims, okay? Instead of imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this imitation of the kuffar and imitation of women. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a woman with no beard, He creates a man with beard. And for your knowledge, even the kuffar and the leaders, because some people, they try to present themselves nowadays in a business fashion. But the great people, until recently, they used to grow their beard. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, look to the dollar bill. I don't mean it has to be a dollar, but dollar, 50, 20, 1,000, million, any bill. If on all these kuffar presidents, they used to grow their beard, okay? Until came all this, you know what? Okay. Yeah. Alright? So Rasulullah s.a.w. said, but what's for the women is what? Is to shorten or to clip their hair. And I said to clip it in a fashion not to be so short that will be imitation to the men. Hadith number 635. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن العباس ابن عبد المطلب استأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يبيت بمكة ليالي منى من أجل سقايته فأذن له. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by ابن عمر, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of الإمام البخاري المسلم رحمة الله عليهما. The hadith is authentic that العباس Ibn Abd al-Muttalib, Abbas, son of Abd al-Muttalib, was the relationship between him and the Prophet?
Uncle.
The uncle, okay? That he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a permission to be permitted to spend the night in Mecca, in the nights of women, of Mina, because he was in the charge of making water of Zamzam available for the Haji. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him permission. Okay? the Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, he part of the family that had taken a charge of making siqaya, making things available for the comfortable of the Hijaj. So he used to go and get the water from the well of Zamzam. Okay, this is a big job, and bought it in big containers or things to be available for the Hujjaj when they come to Arraf to Mecca, to found the water available for them to drink. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gave him permission not to spend the nights in Mina. So that means he was performing Hajj. But due to the responsibility that needed by the other Hujjaj, and this is similar to what? People who work in the ambulance, emergency, okay, sit down or get out. Okay, people who work in emergency, people who work in the fire departments, okay, they have to be running between Mina and Mecca, or they have to be in a certain station for emergency. Anything required, those people can attend Arafah, okay, this is the main thing, and they can go stone and leave. But the rest of all the Hajj, you don't have emergency or things that the life of the Muslims who make an Hajj depend on it, they have to stay where they have to spend the night in Mina for 3 nights. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted him, and this will apply to all the people who have anything that deals with the life of the Haji to be something urgent. They can be permitted to come to throw the pebbles and the stones as they go back to be in their stations out of Mina. Hadith number 636. وعن عاصم ابن عدي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أرخص لرعاة الإبل في البيتوت عن منى يرمون يوم النحر ثم يرمون الغد ومن بعد الغد ليومين ثم يرمون يوم النفر رواه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي وابن حبان. And the hadith is authentic that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had permitted or give permission to the camel shepherd or the camel, camel what?
Herders.
The camel takers. You see the English? Brother, because I didn't bet the TOEFL yet, okay? Don't worry about it, okay? But I'm sure you know what I mean, is it? Okay. The camel pusher. Okay, draggers of the camels, okay, to spend the night out of Mina, to throw the pebbles in the first day, and they will go out, spend 2 nights, will come in the second or the third, and they will combine stoning of 2 days together in 1 day, okay. Because this will be some kind of a starvation to the camels. They could not stay this time without, and for them to fulfill their obligation towards these animals, they have to take them out of the city limit of Mina, and it's not going to be accessible to them to come back to be by night in Mina. So they will stone for the first day, and after this they will leave for 2 days, and they will come back again and combine the stoning of 2 days in 1 day. So there is a special cases which people can permitted for combining 2 days of stoning, or spending the night out of Mina, other things like this, and alhamdulillah, this out of Allah's mercy. Hadith number 637, وعن أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم النحر. الحديث متفق عليه. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gives him a khutbah in the day of Nahr, and this to show us the sunnah that the imam of the government or the state, that he should give a khutbah in the day of Nahr, remind the Muslims about their obligation and the greatness of Islam, and that they should hold fast together to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the things that to remind them about Allah and the deen of Allah. Hadith Sarra bin Nabhan radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الرؤوس فقال أليس هذا أوسط أيام التشريق. الحديث is حسن. The hadith is good. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told them in the 11th days of Dhul Qa'dah, isn't this is the best day of your days or Tashriq? The days of Tashriq, okay, they call it Tashriq from Shuruq, because in that days they use people, the Hajj, after they sacrifice their animals, they used to put the meat on the stones, the big rocks, for the sun to hit it, and this is the means to dry it, okay, and to preserve it for the future that they can utilize it, okay. So when they bought this meat in stones like this, and the sun hit it, this called Ayam al-Tashriq, okay? So this Ayam al-Tashriq, which is the 3 days of the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, the 3 days which comes after Eid, this called Ayam al-Tashriq, okay? So the 11th will be the middest or the best of all these days, and they call it Yawm al-Ru'us because the day of heads, because that they kill a lot of animals, sacrifice a lot of animals in that day, they call it Yawm al-Ru'us, the day of heads. A lot of heads is shot, okay? Yeah. So this is the day which is the best day of the day of Tashriq, the best day of the 3 days after Eid is what? The day of the 11th of Dhul Hijjah. Page number 270, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها طوافك بالبيت وسعيك بين الصفا والمروة يكفيك لحجك لحجك وعمرتك. رواه مسلم. حديث reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told Aisha that her tawaf by the house, means the Kaaba, and your sa'i, your walking between the two mountains, Safa and Marwa, is sufficient for your Hajj and your Umrah. Is sufficient for your Hajj and Umrah. Okay? We say that there is three types of nusuk. One called Ifrad, that means single, Mufrad, okay, Ifrad. One called Qiran, okay, Qiran that putting two things together. And one called Tamattu', okay, from Mut'a, enjoyment, okay. The Ifrad, that means a single Hajj, Okay. Qiran, that means two things together. Okay. Make Hajj and Umrah together. Tamattu, that you make Hajj and Umrah, but you separate between both of them by enjoying yourself having a regular life. As example, having your clothes on, regular clothes, you can shave your hair, you can cut your nails, all these things, okay? This is the three things. If you make an ifrad Hajj, you have to make one sa'i and tawaf, and this is it. Besides being in Arafah and doing all these other places. Okay? If you make in Quran, Hajj and Umrah together, this was the hadith is applying to. That your tawaf and your walking sa'i between Safa and Marwa will be sufficient for Hajj and Umrah together. Okay? But if you make in tamattu Hajj and Umrah with separation between the Hajj and Umrah, turning to regular life, now you need to make tawaf and sa'i for Umrah, and you need to make tawaf and sa'i for Hajj. Does anybody understand this?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, because Aisha is making Quran, making tawaf and Umrah without enjoying regular life between both of them, so for her is sufficient what? To make one tawaf and one sa'i for both of them. Okay? And inshallah, I will do this in more details later on in the next two classes coming. Hadith number 640. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرمل في السبع الذي أفاض فيه رواه الخمسة إلا الترمذي وصححه الحاكم. The hadith is authentic, reported by ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with him, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرمل. What is يرمل? Anybody remember? A quarter for this answer. We make it 50 cents. We give you a dollar or a candy bar, and I have it in my briefcase ready. Okay, since nobody know, I tell you, the Ramli is...
Yeah. For the first... Oh, yes. For the first three...
The Ramli is to do what?
Running,
but what? Not speeding too much and hurting the other people, okay? Slow jogging, okay? The slow jogging. So what this hadith is saying, that when after you leave Arafah and Muzdalifah and Mina, you're supposed to be doing what? You're making tawaf, ifada. So this kind of tawaf, you don't do what? You don't run in it. Okay, you don't jog in it, but you will walk normal. Okay, so this is what he's talking about. Lam yarmul, that means he did not, you have it written in English and nobody can answer. Come on, guys. You have the book and it's sitting in English, written in English. Alright. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not run, okay, and when he made tawaf al-ifada, because there is tawaf al-qudum, there is tawaf al-ifada, there is tawaf al-wada', and we're going to explain the different titles, but all the tawafs seven times, all the tawaf will be around the Kaaba. All the tawaf, you will start from the black stone into the black stone. All the tawaf, the Kaaba will be in your left and you're going in the right. You see? But the first tawaf when you come, the first tawaf, this is tawaf al-qudum. Because the arrival tawaf, let's say the arrival tawaf. Tawaf al-ifada, okay, tawaf al-ifada is the tawaf that you do after finishing with Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina. Now you go. That called tawaf al-ifada. And tawaf al-wada' is the bye-bye tawaf. So it's very easy, you remember. The first one is the arrival, and the last one is what? The bye-bye, the farewell. Okay? So the other one is what? Ifada. Ifada, like pouring water or coming, turning something down. Because you finish with this, now you're coming from Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina, you finish, now you're coming to the final station almost. Okay? So in this kind of tawaf, you don't do what? Running. Which one you do running? The arrival. How many?
Three.
And the rest you'll do what? You walk. Alhamdulillah. Okay? Hadith number 641. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء ثم رقد رقدة بالمحصب ثم ركب إلى البيت فطاف به. Okay? This hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم after he finished from everything, spending the night in Mina also, he got out of Mina and he reached to a place or a station called Al-Muhassab, and he took like a nap there. Leave her, please. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took a nap, he rested in this area. But this is closer to Mina and a little bit distant from Mecca, but this has nothing to do with the manasik of Hajj. Okay? This has nothing to do of obligation. But this, out of being tired or try to get yourself together to be having more energy before you go to Mecca to make the tawaf. So this is not part, but the narrators and the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they used to be concerned to tell us everything about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Okay? For us to have a full awareness about the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith number 642, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها لم تكن تفعل ذلك, أي نزول بالأطاح. How we know that this is not part of Hajj? Now you see the second hadith, we'll explain the other hadith. That عائشة رضي الله عنها لم تكن تفعل ذلك, she don't used to do this, that to go and stay by Al-Attah. وتقول إنما نزله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه كان منزلا أسمح لخروجه, more convenience. He says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم only he took a nap there or relaxed there because it was more matter of convenience for his traveling. Okay? Alright. Page number 271 and hadith number 643. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال أمر الناس أن يكون آخر عهدهم بالبيت إلا أنه خفف عن الحائض, متفق عليه. Hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with both of them, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that Ibn Abbas saying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the people that Ibn Abbas saying the people being commanded that not to leave Mecca unless that last thing to be performed is the tawaf. Okay? The people been commanded that the last thing to do what? Is the tawaf. And this tawaf what? Farewell. The wada'. Wada'. Okay? And it been excused out of this women who are bleeding, childbirth, menses, okay? They are exempt from this. Because this will delete the whole caravan or the whole trip. And if she have to wait, she may miss her company and her mahram or the group that she's traveling with. So been exempt from this. And also from this hadith we understand that tawaf, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the tawaf is the twin of salah. The only thing that you permit to talk in it. The tawaf is the twin of salah. The only thing, the difference that what? Is permissible for you to talk. So if you make a tawaf and your brother says assalamu alaikum, for you, you can say wa alaikum salam, he sneezes, you can say rahamukallah. Or if you ask him, did you bring my wallet with you? You understand, did you bring extra money? Because I want to go step outside, get something to drink, I'm thirsty. You can talk to your brother while you're making tawaf. Okay? And also from this hadith we understand the necessity of a person being, have wudu or in a state of tahara while they're making tawaf. Okay? Why? Because a woman during her menses, she could not make tawaf because she is not in a state of purity. And the hadith is authentic. The last hadith in that chapter, chapter number 5, hadith number 644 in page number 271, وعن ابن الزبير رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة في مسجدي هذا أفضل من ألف صلاة فيما سواه إلا المسجد الحرام وصلاة في المسجد الحرام أفضل من صلاة في مسجدي هذا بمئة صلاة رواه أحمد وصححه ابن حبان. The hadith is authentic and the hadith is reported by Ibn Zubayr, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us about the reward and the blessings and the virtues of performing prayer in his mosque. That performing prayer, any prayer in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is more rewarded 1,000 times than any other mosque, with exception the holy mosque of Mecca. Okay? And he said that prayer in the mosque of Al-Haram in Mecca is more rewarded than salah in my mosque, 100 salah. Okay? So that means 100 times 1,000 will be 100,000. That means salah in the mosque of Mecca, where the Kaaba is much better than any other mosque, how many? 100,000 times. And salah in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more rewarded than any other mosque, okay? Exception, the holy mosques, that how many times? Is 1,000 times. Okay? And in Jerusalem is 500. Other than this, all the mosques are equal in the reward, except if a mosque have more